say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Malachi chapter number 3, I want to begin there. I want to start with the wrong idea of what happy really is. It's the same problem that we have in our culture today, is a confusion of terms. It's a confusion of what happy really is. In fact, it had changed so much by the time you get to the last book in the Old Testament before the 400 silent years, and then Jesus comes on the scene, that they were so mixed up about it, they called proud people happy. I mention that verse a lot just because I think it is a very significant problem, even in our day, that we've lost track of what it really means as a people, even in America, to be truly happy. And I think, I believe firmly, very confident of this fact, that we call many people in America happy, but the issue is not that they're so happy, the issue is that they're proud. So Malachi chapter number 3, and now we call the proud happy. They weren't happy. In fact, they were proud, but they had lost the distinction in their culture in the day of what happy really looked like. In fact, when they looked at proud, they thought they're happy. And so we just gave you a simple definition out of the old Webster's Dictionary because these English definitions are good and proper. Proud, having an inordinate, that means out of bounds, inordinate, improper, too inflated self-esteem. Possessing a high or unreasonable conceit. Conceit means an inflated opinion of yourself. Now, possessing, proud is when someone possesses a high or an unreasonable, inflated opinion of one's own excellence, either of a body or mind. It also is defined this way. A man may be proud of his person or who he is. He may be proud of his talents. He may be proud of his accomplishments or his achievements. And some people say that he's just happy. No, that's that was pride that you saw. He's proud of his accomplishments. He's proud of his talents. He's proud of his achievements. And he may be proud of anything to which he bears some relation. He may be proud of his country, his government, his equipage, things that he's been given, or of whatever may be by association, may gratify his esteem of himself. He may be proud of anything. In fact, it goes on to say he may even be proud of his religion or his church. Now, I challenge you to do a word study on this. Look up the times that the word pride and proud are found in the scriptures, and here's what you're going to find. As far as I know, if you find something I haven't found, and maybe you will, pride is a sin every time. And a person can be proud of their country. Because of why? He may be proud of his country. The last part that's underlined says, he conceives that anything excellent or valuable in which he has a share or to which he stands related contributes to his own importance. Now, we're going to all kind of crack up a little bit about this, but isn't it interesting that sometimes we are identified by a jersey that we wear? I've done that before, too. And you wear a jersey of a sports star, and not because you were excellent at something, but because he was excellent and you identified with him and you borrowed off of his excellence that he performed at, and you borrow that to give you some significance. Sometimes we borrow that off of a sports team. Nothing wrong with sports. I'm not against sports. I love sports, in fact. But The truth is that sometimes we're very proud to be a fan of, and it's because we borrow off of their success or their excellence for ourselves. Now look at this definition. I didn't make this up. I'm just reading it. He conceives that anything excellent or valuable in which he has a share or to which he stands related contributes to his own importance. And this conception exalts his opinion of himself. You ever seen that? 5'5" guy walking around with a LeBron James jersey on, and he wears it, and he's strutting his stuff. And okay, number one, you're not LeBron James. Number two, you're white and you can't jump. Number three, you're 5'5" and you are not, but you borrow off of that. Now we kind of laugh at that, but isn't it true? And we call the proud what? Happy. The definition of happy, number one definition, most common even in 1828, lucky, fortunate, successful. But number two goes like this. This is a much greater explanation of what happy really means. Being in the enjoyment of agreeable sensations from the possession of good. What? I'll read that again. Being in the enjoyment, I'm enjoying agreeable sensations. Happiness feels good from the possession of good. I got some good thing. Enjoying pleasure from the gratification of appetites or desire. Here's part. The pleasurable sensations derived from the gratification of sensual appetites render a person temporarily what? Happy. But look at this. This is why this is not in the definitions anymore in our English dictionaries. But even Noah Webster said when the dictionary was originally written, but he only can be esteemed really and permanently happy who enjoys peace of mind in the favor of God. I love that. You can get some temporary happiness from some good thing that you received or whatever here in this life, but the real long-term permanent happiness only comes when you enjoy the peace of mind that you get from being in the favor of God. To be in any degree happy, we must be free from pain, both of body and of mind. To be very happy, we must be in the enjoyment of a lively sensations of pleasure, either of body or mind. And so, really, what Webster is saying is that a true, lasting happiness is only found when you have the peace of mind to know that you are in the favor of God. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? See, and I find a great amount of stuff to preach about simply by opening up the English dictionary and finding out what words mean that we hear every day, but quite honestly, often, we really don't know the English language that well at all. And so we call the proud happy. Happy, true happiness, is that you got some good thing. It might be temporary, or you enjoy the sensations associated with that, but real happiness is lasting happiness, is you find only when you enjoy the peace of mind of being in favor of God. Now, back to the scripture. We call the proud happy, the scripture says, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And so here's what I want to do. You're in the book of Malachi. I'm just asking you to turn back to the left, to the book of Psalm. That's right in the middle of your Bible, Psalms. And then one book to the left of Psalms, and you'll land in the book of Job. Okay, and I want to just take a trip through the scripture. Did you ever wonder why you lost your happiness? I've wondered that. Like, what's wrong with me? I know something's wrong with me. I can't put my finger on it. What is it exactly that has stolen away my happiness? Now, normally I talk about in the context of joy, but tonight I'm speaking about happiness. You're not happy anymore. You used to be happy. You used to be happy, but you're not happy anymore. Now, what God does through a study of the word happy in the scriptures, and you'll see this, is he lays out a very clear plan that you can self-diagnose. Many times it's very difficult for us, especially if we don't know the Bible, to even be able to put our finger exactly on what's the problem here. Now, why have I lost my happiness and I can't seem to get it back no matter what I do, no matter what I change, I can't seem to get it back. And so tonight we're just going to take a quick trip through the Word of God and let God define for us, here are some things in life that will contribute to your happiness. Okay, so chapter number 5 of the book of Job, and one verse here, it goes like this. Behold, happy is the man whom God does what? Correcteth. Now that's that God gets after you. Happy. Now you put other scriptures together and you come into the New Testament and it says, you know that if God chastens you as an individual, that if you did something wrong and God actually gets after you about it, if God actually makes you pay the cost for that thing and suffer for making those kind of decisions and for walking away from Him, you know that God cares about you. Because every son that the Lord loves, the New Testament says, He does what? He chastens. And the Bible says, happy is the man whom the Lord corrects. Because when God corrects you, now lost people, they're going to pay for their sins in hell. Not that God never calls into account people that do bad things here in this lifetime that are lost. But specifically, you know, if God has your number on an issue, and He's not going to let you get by with falling back off into sin and the old life that you used to live, you know that actually makes a man happy to realize, hey, God still loves me. As a Christian, now listen closely. When you and I get spanked when we do stuff wrong, that ought to make us happy, even though temporarily it hurts. But that screams, we're legitimate children of the Most High God. And so to recognize the signs of when God is taking care of you, or when God is showing you, even in a way that doesn't seem significant, I'll just tell you this. The neighbors never spanked me growing up as a kid. But my mom and dad did, because they cared about me. And when God spanks you through circumstances to get your attention and to let you know you're not going to just live your life recklessly as one of my kids, that's a day the Bible says, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. And all God's people said, and those of you that might be under the divine chastening of the Lord right now, you might be saying, oh me, but you ought to be saying, amen. Psalm 127, in fact, verse number 3, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. Heritage means an inheritance. That's a term used to define inheritance, something God gives you, and it's a blessing. Children are a blessing. I know we're in a culture today where it's not quite like it used to be, where children were, where parents were glad to have 5, 10, 15 kids, and we kind of, in our culture today, we kind of do this, you know, 2 kids and no more thing. And that's what Sherry and I did. So I don't look down my nose at anybody else who stopped at 2 kids. But what I am saying is this. Children are a blessing from God. And the Bible says, happy is the man that has his quiver, what? Full of them. So maybe if you guys are sad, just you need some more kids or something. But it's something to think about, isn't it? You never thought about that, did you? And see, I made you happy already just thinking about you need some more kids. I will tell you this. I think you can put grandkids in there too, honestly. Just something about them. And happy is the man whose quiver is full. Because every one of those children are an opportunity to impact this world for good and for right. Because we know for sure that there's a lot of people out there impacting it for the bad. And happy is the man whose quiver is full. So there you are. Psalm 144. I see some of these families, you know, I hear people talk about how it's such a plague to have a bunch of kids, but honestly, I see a lot of these families around that have to drive 15 passenger vans, and they seem to look pretty happy to me. Yeah, because they got a bunch of kids to do stuff for them at the house. I don't know. You call it a ball team, you call it hay hands, I don't know. I just know this. I was the youngest one in our family, and when I quit turning the TV, you know, I'm thankful for remote controls, but, and I say that tongue in cheek, but children are a blessing. And when you get old, and it's nice that somebody stops by to see you from time to time, I'm not there yet, but I'm just guessing, you're probably really happy. Just a thought, probably just thoughts of a preacher that doesn't know what he's talking about, but it's just some thoughts, because sometimes we don't stop long enough to think these things through. But tonight we will. Psalm 144, verse number 10. I want to just cover a couple of these verses here. David writes these words. It is he, talking about God, that gives salvation unto kings, who delivers David, his servant, from the hurtful sword. Amen. That's God that did that. He rid me and delivered me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speak vanity and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So God rid me and he delivered me from the hand of strange children, those people that are bad, verse 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners, that's our grain bins, may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Verse 15, happy is the people that is in such a case. And the such a case is under the divine favor of God and the blessings of God. Who are the happy people? People that are in the divine favor. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. And all God's people said, Psalm 146, verse number 5, happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. That's for sure. You ever need help and you needed someone to come through in a great way? And there's God. Happy is that man or woman. Proverbs 3:13, happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Amen. Proverbs 14:21, he that despises his neighbor sins, but he that has mercy on the poor, happy is he. I'm telling you what. And I've missed it a lot, too. I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't always get this thing right. And maybe I've missed it more than I got it right. I'm not sure. But I know this. The Bible says, happy is the man or the woman that has mercy on the poor. I don't ever regret one time giving money to a poor person. I remember several times being regretful that I didn't help when I could. But I wouldn't. Verse number 20 of Proverbs 16. He that handleth a matter wisely, he shall find good. And whoso trusts in the Lord, happy is he. What are you upset about? Why have you lost your happiness? Well, I'm not sure how it's going to go. And I'm not sure what's going to be next week and how this is all going to turn out. Are you trusting the Lord? Because I'm just telling you, the people that trust the Lord are happy people. Why are you so happy? I mean, you got a bunch of stuff going wrong in your life right now. I don't know. I just believe God's going to take care of it. Is that it? You're happy because you're confident that God's going to take care of it and you trust in the Lord? That's it? Listen, happy people that trust in the Lord have bad things that happen to them too. It just doesn't get them down because they trust in the Lord. Maybe if you're down tonight, it's because you're not trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 29, verse 14 says, happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. In fact, the verse right underneath that, the book of John, chapter number 13, verse 17, Jesus, it's a story about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And they're like, you know, we don't want you to wash our feet. And Jesus says, hey, you got to wash people's feet. You got to serve people. You have to learn how to serve people. You have to learn how to get off your own personal agenda. And you got to learn how to humble yourself enough to serve and to help people. In fact, he goes on to say, verse number 17 of chapter 13, if you know these things, I know it's good to serve people. I know that if Jesus washed my feet or our feet as his followers, that we ought to wash one another's feet and care about them. And Jesus said, if you know this, but where it really turns into happiness is when you do it. And you come off your everybody needs to serve me mentality and you begin to serve other people and you begin to condescend to men of low estate and you help people. It's not about pride. It's about knowing that you walked away from that situation and you did the right thing. Happy are you, y'all, ye, if you do them. Romans 14, I would like for you to turn there for just a moment. I don't want to make this message longer than it needs to be, but I just want to stop here for just a minute because often I have found Romans 14, verse number 22, and the verses surrounding that to be the cure of my ill that I've sometimes had in life. Oftentimes. Sometimes it's not, I'm not trusting in the Lord. Sometimes as I blew it at an opportunity to be merciful to people, and then I got to live with the guilty conscience of not doing that. Sometimes I'm unhappy because I didn't have wisdom in an area and I made a decision on something and I blew it, I missed it. And so now it's payment time for the principle unfollowed. But oftentimes it's chapter 14, verse number 22, it says these simple words. Hast thou faith? Do you have faith? Yes or no? Do you have faith? You got faith? Yes or no? Okay, have it to thyself before God. You got faith? Are you living it? Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. Allows means allows. It means sometimes the things that you permit, sometimes it's things that you let go, overlook. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. We all make decisions every day. Lots of times we know that we're doing something that God's not happy with, but we turn our head to it. We turn the other way. Sometimes we find that the things that we're turning our heads to and that we allow in our own lives, sin or disobedience to God, and we allow that thing, and when we allow it in our children sometimes, and it brings us unhappiness and our finances and our relationships, it could be something as simple as we know it's important to pray, but we can bring condemnation upon ourselves because we allow the fact that we don't do anything about it. And then you live with the guilty conscience of, I should have taken time for God and I didn't take time for God. I found that this principle, sometimes there is a problem. Let me just direct it here to our congregation. Sometimes there's been a problem in our church and I knew about it and I didn't choose to act upon that thing right away. And then I allowed that thing to go on and thinking that it would get better over time, but all it did was get worse. And then I found that I was miserable, not because somebody else messed up or mishandled a situation, but because of myself. And you want to find happy people. Now let me tell you, happy people. When the Apostle Paul said, I strive always to have my conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now, here's what I'm telling you. That is a happy approach to life. What I mean by that is this. Is that when you can lay your head on your pillow at night and you know that there's not one person that's mad at you because of something that you did wrong, that's a good place to be. When you lay your head on the pillow at night and you know that that day and that week you did the best that you could and the best that you knew how to do to live for God and to put him first. What I'm telling you is a clear conscience is a very soft pillow. But a conscience that convicts us, or the Holy Spirit convicting us because we're allowing things and doing things that we shouldn't be doing, that makes for a rough night's sleep for a believer. And so happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows. He that doubteth, the Bible says, is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is, what's the word there? Is sin. So, question. You lost your happiness? Is there something that you've been allowing to go on in your life that you know is not right? And because it's a violation of a principle of God or a command of God, that you're living underneath of that, in a sense, condemnation or that guilty conscience of knowing or knowing underneath the conviction. Is there something that you've been doing and mishandling something or mistreating someone? Or is there anything that you and I have done? See, because normally it's for me, if I could go back and put my finger on several of those principles that God teaches us, I would say the trusting God issue is a big one for me, that sometimes I'm not happy because I'm not trusting God. I would say number two would probably be the issue of wisdom, that I lacked wisdom in an area and I was making bad decisions, and because I didn't have the wisdom that came from God and didn't make a right choice on something, then I'm reaping the consequences. And then I would say that three would be that there's just that God convicted me about something that I knew in the moment or for a long time I've known that needs to get corrected, and I've just let that thing go and didn't deal with it. And it's, I lost my happiness. Because didn't Webster say something like, permanent happiness has to do with the peace of mind of knowing that you're in the favor of God. And so watch, when you lose the peace of mind that you're in the favor of God, you don't have happiness anymore. Now, the world doesn't care, but they'll get theirs. But we care. In fact, you're here tonight because you care. And I'm not slamming on you tonight. I'm just saying that when my happiness is gone, if I just knew how to diagnose, sometimes it's something that is very rare. See, so maybe what is ailing you is not a common thing, but it's an uncommon thing. And the reason that it's been bothering you so long is because you just haven't quite yet put your finger on that thing. But tonight, in this message, you've thought through, you've stopped long enough to think through this thing, and you can go, all right, tonight, I know that it's right there. Now, the last one is found in two verses, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 14. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, the Bible says what? Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 says, If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now, maybe you didn't feel like that in the moment before you stopped and got a biblical view on it, when those people were making fun of you and mocking you for taking a stand for God at work, or some of you are still in school and it didn't feel very good. It didn't feel like something that you should be happy about when people were mocking you for your Christian faith or for taking a stand on the Word of God. But the Bible says, when people do that to you, happy are ye. Why? Because when that happens to you, when you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, the Scripture says, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he, God, is evil spoken of. But on your part, it's glory. And happy are ye.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hereshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I